أصدقاء.
رداه ماذا قد دهانا، كيف دل الأنقيا لك، أنما الأمجاد شيدت دون ما بذل الدماء.
يا زماني ساعة واذكر زمان الأقوياء، كم جلجل الحق.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:35 Central African time, at that time of the morning where we join our very own counselor, Ahmad Farak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful Sunday morning, Shafaq. We are ready to rock and roll, Shafaq.
Alhamdulillah, definitely people, when you come on, the rock and roll throughout the world, everywhere, like when Adam was in Durban Harbour this morning, the Springer got away and the bass, or what is called, that mullet jumping all over, he could see it, he brought it alive. You bring politics alive and you bring the, you know, the stories about the municipality, and we get it straight from you, Ahmad, because you walk the talk. And before we get to that, we rather start off with our Kafan Dafan. What's the latest on Kafan Dafan, Ahmad?
Shafaq, alhamdulillah, so far very quiet, not having any major issues or anything with the burial or any issues with any burial societies at the moment. Even in terms of postmortems too, alhamdulillah, we have got, there is no backlog or anything here in KZN. But in Gauteng, there's a huge backlog of unclaimed paupers' body there, in especially in the mortuaries in Gauteng. They've got something just under 2,000 bodies. They haven't worked on it. They haven't done the postmortem. There's no, the claimant has not come to fetch them or come and identify them. That is the only issue that we're having in Gauteng. But the very important issue that we are having at the moment is in Pretoria, where the postmortem has been done and people are still waiting for the last 8 to 15 months or more, they cannot get the postmortem report. Now, without that report, you know, people have to wait because some of them are insured, some of them got claims they have to do with the road accident fund. So this is a problem that they are facing at the moment. And because in Pretoria, the forensic side, and you know, they have to match the bloods, has to be checked up, and everything else has to be done in Pretoria. That's where they have got huge shortage of staff. So the people on the ground are actually suffering because of that. And I'm trying to expedite some of the issues because they cannot wind some of the states, estates for the deceased. So this is a problem that we have got, and hoping in the next week or so I'll be going to Pretoria as well. I've got some work, and I'm going to take this issue up with government and see if we can assist these people to get this postmortem report so they'll be able to get paid. The important thing is, you know, the insurance are not prepared to pay because they want to know what's the cause of death, Shabbat.
Absolutely. Looking at a question here for you. Hassan says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Farak. I'm a big fan of yours, and I know you. I don't think you know me very well. But please tell me, how are the people buried in disaster zones, especially when there is earthquakes? For example, in Turkey, thousands and thousands of them dying. Are they buried in mass graves? How do you answer Hassan there, Ahmad?
Shafaq, from my understanding and from the investigation I've done, you know, over the years, when we have national disaster or we have earthquakes or you have flooding or whatever, you have major issues. Some countries, they do mass graves, but especially in the Muslim countries, and where we, even when we had the COVID about 2-3 years ago, and we had graves ready, and we knew that now we have to get onto the ground and make sure, because there will be a lot of people we have to bury. So what they do is actually, Shabbat, they open up like maybe 100, 200, 300 thousands of graves, open it with a TLB and have it ready. As the bodies are getting post-mortem and the investigation, the photographing has been done, then they just keep burying, and that's the only way it's done. But especially in the mass grave, It is a problem because, you know, if you need identification later for whatever reason, so we know which grave to identify and open that grave. So this, especially in cases like that, they always have individual grave shivas.
Alhamdulillah, yes, sir. You know, you really think about all these things and it's important to know. Questions already coming in for you. This is Abdair. He says, unfortunately, during Ramadan, so many people come as workers of and members of grave societies, and they collect from us as Muslims, and our hearts are very soft. How do we know that we are giving to genuine burial societies, Ahmed Parak? Because during Ramadan, everyone becomes a collector, and we as Muslims, we have a soft heart and we give. Please help, Ahmed. I mean, that's a very good question from Tayyip.
Well, Shafat, in fact, we get, every year this happens in our community, especially in Ramzan time. People go and buy kurtas, they print out a receipt book, they go and print some literature to say that we, this organization, we are in existing. And these people mostly come from areas that you don't know. And then you think to yourself, you say, you know what, it could be happening in these areas. There's nobody there. We in the city and all, we got it checked and we helped the burial society. I've made this very, very clear in the past when I was the chairman of the Islamic Burial Council. Do not give any organization, now I'm saying not only in the burial, in any organization, if he has not come with the NCF letter. That's number one. Number two is you need to do your research in terms of which burial society it is. Today is very, very easy. You go on Google, you know exactly which burial society and you got, and especially now, nobody can take us for a ride because we have got the South African Funeral Burial Society Association. So everybody is affiliated to that burial society. And they, you know, because for when you want to bring a body from, say, Cape Town in Newlands, we know exactly where it will come from and how it will come through to Durban or whatever it is. Even in Joburg, we have the same system. So we have got this system. The Burial Society has got an index where you'll be able to see exactly where these burial societies are situated. So it's very, very, very unlikely that somebody can come here and say, you know what, I represent so-and-so burial society. Unless you, when it comes through to you, you still have to do because there will be his cell numbers there, his landline numbers, the association, which various societies, then only you give. Other than that, you don't give, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, you made a very valid point, and the world has become a global village. I mean, you can just get into any social media, and you can even, you know, that Google thing you put in there, you type in the address. You'll get to know whether the person is a fake or a con or so forth. But also, you know, we know about other fake accounts that are there, that are Islamophobic accounts and all that are allowed. But especially when it comes to charity, and, you know, many come and tell me now, you know, Shafat, what we do, we go on our own and we go and find the poor person and we go and give the money in their hands. I think perhaps even that is a very good idea. You know, you go and give the money yourself on those deserving cases. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, when it comes to, especially when the Zakat guy, I tell everyone, there's so many zakatable people around in our town, in our city, in our country. It is for you, when you go and do it personally, you will get the reward, more reward as well. And you see for yourself, this person is 100% zakatable person. You know, I'm involved with the Alamiyah Mea Masjid in Unit 8 in Phoenix. And the system that we have put in there, Shafat, it's something so watertight. They have got special files. They do a follow-up, not only Ramzan time, they do every second, third month, that zakatable person you are giving the money to for the groceries or you're paying the light account or whatever you're doing. They keep checking. Because as soon as the son has started work or the wife has started work or somebody has started work from there, immediately we take them out of our files. We tell them, right now you have got an income coming, so we won't be able to help you, or we'll give you X amount from that amount to that amount because you have got an income. Because your account, especially when it comes to zakat, you are accountable to make sure you give the right recipient, Shafan.
Then, Ahmed, you know, we got friends and we have these stories of so many coming from the subcontinent, especially coming to South Africa. And the story is, they come to South Africa, they are big givers and they give. And most of our people, you know, most of them will give these people without even questioning them. And subsequently, you know, talking to other friends of ours who have investigated and say, but, you know, these guys are collecting for madrasa and collecting for this and that. But when you go to the hometown in India, they're using the money to build big bungalows and all that. I don't, Ahmed, what's your thoughts?
100%, Shafat. You know, previously there's a lot of people coming from this, especially India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all these countries from overseas. They come here with big books, with photographs, and everything. We got madrasas. We teaching so many. We making ufas every year, so many. But we won't do the proper investigation. You don't get. Therefore, I always say, go and check with the Jamaatul Ulama, go to the Sunni Jamaatul Ulama before you give anyone. Because, you know, the money is, to be honest, you know, there's so much of money that went into Turkey and Sudan now for the earthquake at the moment. We need money here, Shafat. There's so much of money is needed in our own country at the moment, because there's hardly any lilla money at the moment. There's more zakat money than lilla money. So, you know, people need, especially in our organization, to you ask anybody compared to last year what they collected and what they're going to collect this year. People used to give 20 grand, they now only giving 10 grand. Where the guy was giving 10 grand, he's only giving 5 grand. So things are hard here. Our business people are also taking it a beating in terms of business and everything. Allah, rozi rizq come from Allah, but at the moment things are bad in our country as well in terms of the upkeeping of our masjid, ulums and madrasas and, you know, all our institution. There is a definite need for this type of funding in our own country instead of you sending it outside. You know, when it comes to Bakrid, you know, people tell you, no, I'm cutting 5 days overseas. But you must cut in your own, first cut in your own yard or cut with an institution. Go and take your children and show them this is how it's been done, because eventually the time will come, everything will be gone overseas. They won't know how to even do Qurbani in this country, Shafa.
Farid says, Assalamu alaikum. Allow me to congratulate the directors and Mufti A.K. Hussain, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, Ahmed Parak, for beautiful programming on the station, especially when Straight Talk comes on. Farid asks, Ahmed Parak, you bring up brilliant issues and you don't shy away from it. I love what you're talking about. I want to know why there are so many people from the subcontinent are running the ulums in this country. Surely we got our alims that are very competent. This is not needed, because most of them are collecting or making it a business. How do you respond to Farid there, Ahmed?
Shafat, in the old days, if you remember, even for Ramzan, you know, we used to import from Cape Town all the ufas coming to Durban and surrounding to perform Tarawih. Then eventually what happened was, then they started opening up madrasas, ulums and all that. There was a shortage of the highly caliber muftis and teachers that we had to train them here in South Africa. But today, you don't even have to. You know, I remember, if you remember, you know Mufti Jalil Shafat. I brought him down when Mufti Sariji told me to, you know, we have come to a stage. You know, the Alim course is 7 years course. We only can bring it up to 4 to 5 years, and thereafter we can't go any further, because for the big kitab, you need somebody like the caliber of Mufti Jalil. I brought him down. I went and did all his paperwork and everything. And when he came, when he landed in Joburg, I brought him down from Joburg to Durban, and I sort everything out for him as well. And there's a whole lot of, from especially Talimuddin Madrasa as well. All those Alim visas, the paperwork and all, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with that work. I managed to get all the paperwork sorted out for them. But now, in the last 10 to 12 years or more, you don't have to bring any Alim from India, Pakistan, or wherever, because we have got fully fledged madrasas, ulums in this country, We don't have to bring them because we got fully-fledged alims that coming out from these institutions. And in fact, our alims are actually from here going overseas today. You take the late Maulana Harun son, he's in Turkey. So, you know, they are going from there. And from other countries, they are coming here, especially from Indonesia, from Philippines, and they are coming to learn here, and they're going back into their own country. So we don't have to bring, import any top alim or anything to teach them here or anything. So, you know, that those days are numbered now, Shaban.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you are making a good point. Actually, you talk about Maulana Harun son, you know, Rehmullah, his son, Muhammad. I mean, I used to carry him when he was a baby. I used to bring him home, buy his chocolates, put him on my motorbike and so forth. MashaAllah, really good memories are coming through. This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. The reality of the whole situation is we are in a sad situation in this country where we are not going out and doing the proper dawah. Look at how many non-Muslims that they are around us. How many of us really go out and bring them into Islam? How many of you in the council go and give dawah to all those ANC members that are running amok and looting? How do you respond to that message?
So, to give dawah is you have to firstly show, like, you know, I when I go to meetings and all that, they say, no, this is halal. And I tell him, sorry, boss, I don't eat anything that I'm not sure of unless I know where it is coming from, who is doing it, and everything else. We just don't take anything and eat from it. From, you know, when there's lunch provided for us, too. We've been very, very particular. And then I make that, you know, and the people look at you and they say, you know what, this man, yeah, he is, you know what, he will never. I'd rather have a cold drink or have some salads or something, and I'm done. But I will not touch any one of the food or anything like that because I know I'm not 100% sure who's cooking and where they brought the food from. That's important. So people in the council look at you and they say, you know what, you know, his religion, it comes first, and that is it. And we have also, one thing they wanted to have meetings on Friday. We put a stop to it. Finish. We said, no ways. Our Friday is our big day. And this is it. We're not going to do this thing. And they have to postpone the meetings for us too. So that's how we are, especially in the council as well. So we're showing a character of how a true Muslim is supposed to behave, number one. Secondly, we're showing them that when we do something, we will talk the truth, nothing but the truth. If that is the truth, we will say that what they have done, if the guy have taken the money out of the coffers of the Itikpini municipality, we'll say, no, they have. In fact, I told the mayor, y'all chowed the money. And he knows that. In fact, in one meeting, he said, you know, some people have accusing me as the mayor that we have chowed the money. And that is right. Because end of the day, if you cannot account for 5 billion, then where that money went, you know, that money was the taxpayers' money, that hard-earned money they paid towards the taxes for the upkeeping of the city. There is no money today. That is the problem that we are faced with, Shaban.
I look in this message. I like the term you use. Hey, you chowder when I ishli lalo mali. Hey, when I ishla. But this message here says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed bhai, I'm crying. I know my papers are not in order. I have small ulum here. Please, Ahmed bhai, put paper in order. Allah will bless you. Ahmed, how are you? Respond to that brother there.
Shafat, that brother needs assistance, then you need to come and, you know, after the show, I'll give you my number. He can come and see me. You need to bring all his paperwork and come and see. And I have to assess it first, whether he's got, if he has done the right thing from the very beginning in terms of his visa has expired, if he has done his paperwork, he has submitted his paperwork to the Department of Home Affairs, all that he must be in place. We can't do anything when the thing is 3-4 years down the line and then he wants me to renew his papers or sort his papers out. It cannot be done. But first, let's have a look at it and then we assess it. And then from there, inshallah, if he's running an ulu, we'll do our utmost best to see if we can sort his paper out. So, you know, we don't lose a nice alim or wherever he's teaching, so we can keep him here in the country.
Gaffer says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I know you very well, but you guys are already addressing issues that are top class. Please, Ahmed, I know in most of our masajids that we have muazzins and people from Malawi, and most of them are not documented. How can the trustees allow this? Surely that is a guna. It's a sin to break the law of the country. And if that muazzin is giving five times a day azan, it is like a haram azan, because he's an illegally documented person in this country with no documents. How do you respond to gaffe here, Ahmed?
Shafat, first and foremost, is that person he's a Muslim, he's employed there, he must go to the trustees. The trustees are the main people of that masjid. They are being put in there by the community. They are trustees of that masjid. He must go there and put his papers. He must tell them that, you know what, I'm here now. This is my passport. I have a problem. I need your assistance. Put that back onto the trustee. It is the trustee's duty to make sure to help the employee. Take my, in my case, in Musgrave, the chief trustee came to me and said, you know what, Ahmed, sort Mazim's papers work out. So I went to Mazim. I said, the chief told me that you need assistance in your paperwork. There's my, you know, where's my offices? I gave him my card. Come, he was there. In a day or so, he came to see me. I looked at all his paper. I opened up a file. I had a look at his paper. I made one or two calls. I said, this is what you have to do. I made the affidavit, because I'm a counselor. I can sign the affidavit. I made the affidavit. I sorted the papers, submitted in. There was one or two queries that came, brought it to me. He says, what must I do? I helped him there, sort it. Today, alhamdulillah, he's got his work permit. This is how you have to do it. So you have to go by the trustees and say the trustee. And the trustees paid for whatever the cost was to pay the home affairs and all that. Today, alhamdulillah, he's not illegal. He's a legal trustee, a legal person working for the masjid in our masjid here. So we don't have a problem or anything. Home affairs can come, they're asking for his papers. Willingly, he can give him his papers. There's my work permit. He's there. This is all my asylum papers. Everything is in order.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And, the home affairs, how are they working? I mean, do they have their fingers on the pulse? And do you feel that the South African government perhaps is getting on top of his game now, not like before it was a free-for-all? What's your thoughts?
Shafat, they have tightened the rope now very, very stringently, because, you know, they have come to realize there's thousands and thousands, you can say a million or more than a couple of million foreign nationals are in our country. They're living here, they're working here, they don't spend any money in the country. All the money is going back to the homeland. So they have discovered this issue now, and they also realize there's thousands of them are illegal here in the country, and they don't have paperwork. They go home, they just come back here, and then they got the visa for 30 days, and they don't worry after renewing the visa, and that's how they keep staying here. So that's why you'll see that the massive court case was in the high court recently, 18 Afghanistanis. So that matter was turned. And the Afghanistans had the opportunity to defend that matter, and they have won the case there because they came legally and the paperwork was submitted to Home Affairs. So what the government is saying, and what we are saying in the Action SA too, we say we don't have a problem with foreign nationals in the country. Come with the greatest of pleasure. But come here and make sure, do the honorable things, get your paperwork in place here. Because from my experience also, Shafa, there are thousands of cases that South African police cannot resolve the cases because the person came and killed somebody, murdered somebody here, and they've gone to the homeland, and these cases are still pending for 5 years, 8 years. There's nothing you can do. These files are just closed. So therefore, if you have a foreign national came into our country, who wants to work here, first he must apply for a work permit. After work permit, then he can go and apply. If he's got, maybe if he's coming from war, a country that has got war in their country, the provision for asylum papers, come and do the right, do the paperwork here in the country, make sure you are become legal, so nobody's going to touch you or anything like that. And in our system, we have got that so-and-so is here in the country from Burundi or Botswana or Zimbabwe or wherever he comes from. Previously, when a person came, after 30 days he had a visa, the alarm bells ring after the 35th or the 40th day. They will start looking for you and you will have to start going back. Today, nobody bothers about that. That is the problem. You go to anywhere else in the world. You go to Dubai, Shafar. Soon as you overstayed your visa by 2 days, there's a penalty charge. They charge you. You can't be there. You won't be able to go to the airport unless you have already paid that fine before you leave to go out of the country. That's how it's supposed to be, Shafar.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahmed, listening to our good friend there, Suleiman Isup, how you respond to the news?
Shafar, you know, the U.S. president got up and now he's realizing that the taxpayers' money that is being used in Ukraine for the war, and he wants to now speak to his allied and he wants to speak to the Russian president regarding the issue about the Ukraine war. Now, they're spending millions and millions of dollars, that the taxpayers' money, when they got their own problem in the U.S. So that is a major concern for him, because he needs to want to stand for the next term for election. So I think he's got a major problem in terms of this war in Ukraine. Then the most importantly, here in our own country, you know, if you are an MP or a minister, you have a minister's office and you are allowed so many staff only. These guys, they think, you know, money is growing in a tree and they're just going to employ more people in their offices without, you know, there's a code of conduct. There's a code where you only get so much of assistance in terms of office and everything is concerned in parliament or in province. And these guys have already went overboard and then they've employed people where they shouldn't be employing. And you're looking at 619 million annually you're going to spending for workers. Maybe some of these people are maybe ghost workers there too, because, you know, that's what they claim. So there's a big problem in terms of when it comes to that. Even in our city, in council, you can't just employ anybody, because at the moment there is no money. So you have employing people for to do what? Because as it is, you're not giving service delivery and you're employing more people. And then the beauty part, the president went and employed a minister of electricity. What is he going to do? There's nothing to do for him, because end of the day, everything is dead. Everything is, you cannot bring it into to existing when something is dead. Is completely, there is nothing left in the in ESCOM or anything like that. So how are you going to do something? But it just shifted the buck away from him and put it into the Minister of Electricity. So he must do the answering. That's what he did. He thinks we are taking two either down and sleeping. We're not sleeping here. We know what is happening in government, Shafar.
Ahmed, you brought up a very important point about salaries. I mean, most of the money that's been collected, even from our rates and taxes and all, most of it is not going into service delivery, but it's going into salary. I mean, not going to maintenance and so forth. It's being just siphoned out. And then you get someone like Zandile Gumede, you know, that's on standby, still collecting a hefty pay packet or at the end of the month. And her case is coming up again. I mean, these people, what type of conscience do they have? I mean, a man like you, you have a conscience, you know, I have to do something. I have to serve the community. I put myself up for serving the community, so I need to do that. But these people, they like, you know, they don't care. What type of individuals are they? Can you read their minds, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, in government, when you just, they don't care whether the department is falling or it doesn't have anything. They don't care. Long as he's got what he wants and that the business that they are involved with, everybody is getting taken care of. If you see the electricity, just to put bulbs in streets, it's 574 million. The whole contract was only 91 million. Shafat, how can you take from 91 to 574 million? They just take it. And you know what? 45 contractors were given that work. And you go to this, all the roads today, even in your road there, if you go to, and here we got in Musgrave as well, and everywhere else, there's no lights. Where is that money went? If you, now everybody, in the problem is, you know, when you get a contract, they have to look after 10, 12 people, and the contractor is only got X amount, and he's not prepared to carry on. If he has to put, say, 500 street lights to fix street lights, he's only going to do 100, and he's forgetting about the rest of the 400. He says, I have to do whatever I have to do. There's no money left anymore, because by the time I got my money for the invoicing I did, I had to pay all these other guys, all these other rats, and there's nothing left now.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I used to look at the vehicles that used to come and do street repairs or, you know, cut the bridges. And you could see that these vehicles were hired for the day. But these guys got the, uniforms on, and, you know, municipality uniform on, and they're doing the job. But you could see it was substandard work and substandard grade. And this was during the reign of Zandile Gumeda. Your comments, Ahmad?
Chapa, this thing is like a mafia game. You know, they still, you know, Zandile is not in council, but they are controlling it. If you know, this is, you got the Ramaphosa cartel, you got the Zuma cartel, you got this Zandile, they all got their own nest. And this is what is happening at the moment. So, you know, to break that thing, if you know, if you don't scratch my back, I'm going to burn you and all. There's so much going to be unraveled in the next 4 to 5 months. You'll see more and more things are coming up, because the road you're traveling is coming narrow on them, and that you're going to have a roadblock. And this is it. And there's going to be, unfortunately, the national authority and the courts, there's the evidence are there, but to bring them for trial, that is the problem. We cannot bring them quick enough, and that is it, because some of this investigation takes a long, long time, because there's so many people are involved. You know, Shamila Bota is doing her best from her department, and you can only do so much, because there's not much you can do, because of there's so much of investigation, and they don't have the manpower. The National Prosecuting Authority don't have enough manpower to prosecute and bring them quickly before court.
Absolutely. And, you know, backlog in the judiciary and many other things. Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafaat. How are you all? I hope our Councillor Ahmad Parati is also well. Please ask him to shed a light. Is it true that ESCOM is starving South Africa to fund the rotten gravy train? Not only starving us of basic electricity, but hurting a business and killing employment. Now, many more millions are being starved because companies lose, workers are laid off, and so homes have no income. What recourse is there to stop it? We only have hope in you, Action Councillor Saab. Wassalam. You know, I think there was a letter like this last week also, but they have a valid point which they're embossing. Ahmad, your response?
Shafat, you know, when it comes to this ESCOM issue, firstly, there was an investigation for some sabotage. They were, first, we all know they were putting third and fourth grade coal into our system. Even in the apartheid arena, when they put this the stations up, the power stations, and up till today, those stations from that time, from 1949 and the old apartheid government, those power stations are still standing and they're still generating. Maybe they cannot generate enough power to give for the whole country, but those power stations are still working. But when you go and sabotage it by using third grade coal and you using your first grade coal for export, and you're doing it like a mafia, and this is it, your coal is going to Richards Bay, and from Richards Bay it's going all over the world, and you cannot fix, or you do not maintain your power station when you have a loss of $400 billion in losses alone, and the Minister of Finance only gave them a bail of about $320 million. You still have a shortfall. How are you going to, because you pay interest, and how are you going to come out of this rat here? That is one of the reasons They put that the power station, everything under state of disaster, because they know they can't do anything. It's collapsed. State of disaster meaning there's nothing left in it. Now you need to find ways to do it. And that's the reason why he came up with an idea. He says, you go and put up solar in your house, and I'll give you 25% concession in your tax. So this is how they're playing the game, because they know there's nothing left in it anymore. And you'll see in the next couple of weeks and months, there will be so much will be unraveling from the ESCOM, and some top executives from that department, they will be, in fact, locked up and charged. So that's how bad it is. And in fact, this thing doesn't happen quickly. We would be, you know, when you arrive, when you see a lot of factories are closing down, a lot of industries, they going away to places where they can generate power. And fortunately, Shafar, one good thing in the country that we must make sugar compared to any other province in the country, we are still better off with the 2 hours. If you go to Cape Town, if you go to Gauteng, you go to the other provinces in the country, they are getting it bad. Shafar, when I mean bad, they're getting it 10 hours and we're getting it 2 hours. So we must make, to a certain degree, make sugar at least only 2 hours we're having this problem. But in the other provinces, they're having it bad, really, really bad, Shafar.
We're having it a bad year. There's a question here from anonymous brother. It says, beloved brother Abad Parak, I really enjoy you, but there's a question that's worrying me. Someone told me the other day that Action SA and the DA are working underhand. How true is this?
Shafar, that brother, firstly, my president, Herman Mashaba, of Action SA, he was the mayor when he was with DA. When he saw the rot at DA, he left DA and he formed his own party, Action SA. So we have nothing with DA. In fact, all the DA, their top guys, are in fact leaving them and coming and joining Action SA. If you see in the Eastern Cape, you'll see Trollope, he's with us. If you see in the KZN, we got Zekwela, he's with us. A top brilliant person that he's our chairperson here. Shafat, you know, in the last about 4 months, and Shafat, what I learned under him is unbelievable. Oh, he's top notch. He knows his politics. He knows how to get things done. He knows how to tackle issues. And we've been taking the council head on in some of the legislation, and we quote, and that's how he showed me how to quote from their own books that was written previously by the ANC government, all the acts and everything. He says, you quote from here and quote this paragraph here with this page number and tell them this is what is wrong, this is what is wrong. And in fact, Shafat is working for us because we're knocking them very, very hard. So that brother's question is that we are in bed with the DA. No, but I can tell you who's in bed with who. I can tell you the ANC is in bed with the EFF. That I can tell you, because that is an offshoot of the ANC where Malama comes, and the NFP is also an offshoot of the ANC. So these are the ones that are in bed with the ANC, but we are not in bed with anybody, Shafat. We stand for what is right. And if you are right, we leave you alone. But if you're coming and knocking us on something that is not right, we will take you on, and we will also not take you on. We will take you to court and we'll prove you that you are wrong.
Yeah, full marks. So some people getting 2-3 votes and they're making coalition. That's another story altogether. Harun from London says, Assalamu alaikum. Can you please ask Councillor Ahmad Parak if there's a light at the end of the ESCOM tunnel? I heard that load shedding is here to stay for another 10 years. Is this true? How do you answer Harun from London, Ahmad?
Shafat, Harun is 100% right that load shedding issue is not going to be here for a short space of time. Yes, it is in the region between 5 to 10 years. Load shedding is here to stay. That is the reason why the government has already introduced to for you to bring in your own power into your own homes by virtue of bringing in the solar system in your own house. And that is it, to take the pressure away from them. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a very, very, very rough road for the next 5 to 10 years. But eventually we are getting it right, because there's a lot of international companies. You see, internationally, they see when there's a problem. You know, Shafat, when there's a problem, you know, I was taught, problem is a golden opportunity. Now you start going in and investigating on that problem. Where's the problem? What is the problem? Where it went wrong and how it went wrong. Now the international companies all over, especially, in fact, I'm busy working with somebody from Germany. They are looking for a massive piece of land. They want to bring one of, they want to spend like $400 million. In our city yet to generate, they want to do a solar farm. So there's a lot of people are going to be coming here to take this opportunity to come invest here, especially on that solar farm and things that they have to do here in this country where they will make money. And this is what they do, Shafat. So people, when a country is in problem with especially water or sanitation or anything, the overseas international companies look for that problem and they identify the problem, and then they come here and they start investigating here properly, and they invest here and to make sure things happen here so that they can make money out of the South Africa.
This message says, Ahmed Bhai, you are very well connected. Please get into solar energy and help us out, especially the Muslims. We want to get off the grid and inshallah supply ESCOM or make our own company. Ahmed, you come, we follow you. Ahmed, how you respond to that?
Shafat, there's a lot already in the last couple of months. I know of people, they came out of the Itigwini municipality or from the government. They said, you know what, do us a favor. You keep that power, give it to somebody else who need it, but we don't need your power anymore. So they have come out, they have brought in from overseas, they have brought in the right system. They are on their own. They don't use the country's power anymore from ESCOM or anybody else. They're using their own power. They got battery generated. They got everything. They got, so if you don't have for 1 week, 2 weeks, too, they don't even bother about it, because they got more than enough power stored in their own grid to for the company, for the businesses and everything. So this is what is happening. And in fact, major supermarkets in the country are looking in the same way as well. And if you see, if you go to Macro, and most Macro's car parks, if they're generating their own power, you'll see all those panels down on the car park is all solar panels they put there, so do they generate their own power, Shafat.
This message from Kasimi says, we here in Gauteng are really admiring the Buros. They are getting off the grid, and they're doing very well indeed. Perhaps we should have an alliance with the Boers and get into solar energy. And remember, Ahmed, that the best battery for solar is lithium battery, and Afghanistan has all the lithium in the world. Your response to that, Ahmed?
Shafat, the last question, the lithium battery is the best battery in the country at the moment. A lot of our people are using that, and that is where they put the backup batteries. Those are the whites in this country have already taken care of the power issues and all that, and they have already looked at it, not now, about 2 years ago when this problem started, and they have already came out of the grid from the municipalities, in various municipalities, and they're running their own powers today, and they're motoring. We're waiting things when it happen. You know, you don't wait, you start doing something about this thing. And inshallah, eventually what will happen, if you take one area by area, somebody is going to come up in that area and say, okay, fine, we're putting up a massive a power grid here to power this whole area. This is going to be the cost. So you need to be careful, because a lot of people will spring up now and say, you know what, we can offer you A, B, C, D, and all. And if you don't get the right equipment and if the right players on board, you will have a problem, Shafat.
Yes, this message says, I've been reading the newspapers recently, and I'm noticing they're saying that soon the end of rising interest. Is this true for homeowners, Ahmed?
Shafat, at the moment, the bank's got so much of money, there's no takers for the money because, you know, the bank only work with interest and, you know, Islamically interest is haram. So there's so much of money. That is the reason they don't want to, they put in the interest rate by a very small margin up, but they cannot afford to put any more than that because if you look at our rand dollar too, it's sitting on about 1842 when I saw last on Friday, like about 1842. So there is a big, massive problem in the country in terms of the banks because there's no takers, there's no nothing major happening in the country. So there's so much of money. If the homeowners cannot service their bond, they will have a major problem. So that is the thing. And the most importantly, you know, there's a whole massive township for 66,000 homes cannot be built because of there's no capacity for Rosu. So that is the other problem that we are faced with. So, you know, you cannot approve plans in the city here because the capacity is over full. What they will have to do now, they'll have to stall. Even if you're ready to build, you won't be able to build your house because for a few months or maybe a year sometime, till they get their act together to get more capacity for the raw sewage. Otherwise, they will have a major problem.
Amanda, what will happen if there is an outbreak of a pandemic because of the sewage system? It seems as if I'm smelling sewage every minute of the day. How do you react to that, Ahmad?
Shafar, on the 23rd of December, in only three streets in where I live, I opened about 140 manholes. Everyone is to the brim. And I came home and I told my wife and the children, I said, if there is a flood that took place on the 12th of April last year, and if you have a flood like that again in KZN, Shafat Ahmed Khan would not be able to come out from his house and go onto the road. That's how bad he's going to get. Everywhere, every street will be with Rosu, and that is it, and that's what's going to happen. I get called every single day. You know what? We're getting smell from this area, this road here. What can we do? What can we do? I tell them, you know what? The only thing, you know what we are doing, Shafat, at the moment? And I told this one doctor, and he has got an eye clinic and all. He spent money from his own pocket. And he had to bring the honeysuckers to come and clean up about 10-12 of those manholes. So at least that stink from his road where the hospital is and all that, he has eliminated. But he had to pay the thing. I told him then, what you do now, you have to send a letter, go through a lawyer, and send it to the city manager and tell him, because of you, I had to spend this money, I need to be reimbursed.
So, Ahmed, in other words, for instance, in our street, if we get a private tanker to, take out this or drain out the sewage, but where do they dump it, Ahmed?
They have got that dumping this thing they have got, Shafat, but the thing is, it cannot flow. You know, raw sewage is supposed to be flowing. You know, if you flush your system in your toilet, it goes into the manhole. From the manhole, it gets flushed out. There's a pump station. It pumps it out into an area where that thing is dumped and embraced, and then it becomes compost and everything else. There's a whole mission to that. But that pump cannot work anymore because everything is blocked, Shafat. Rosu goes with water, and now Rosu has gone with sand. So we don't have a facility where you want to pull it with the sand. That is the problem we are faced with. Everywhere is clogged, Shafat. You name the area, and that is, you can't do anything about it. The only thing is you to bring your own honeysuckers and start clearing it up, and that is the only problem.
And then are you giving us a tip that if we're using our own trucks, then we can bill the municipality for that, but via lawful sources. You must have an attorney or so forth, Ahmed.
Yeah, you know, your chances are very good because there we have got a case. You take photograph of it, you say, this is it. Before you open the manhole, you see that he's full. You open the next one, he's full. The third one, full. You open about four, five, and all that. You open those ones up and you take photographs of them, and then you back it up properly and send it by, to the city manager and say, you know what, by yours not servicing the manholes, you haven't did our service delivery, and this is the problem. People, you know, that, you know, Shafat, if you have this rosu smell like this, people can get sick. That they don't realize that, you know, you get bacteria and everything else is going to this thing. So this is another big major problem, that there will be an outbreak of a disease. Then what you want to do? So that is another issue that they're not realizing. And this is where we are telling them, do something quickly before a flood comes or there's a massive outbreak of this disease with the raw soup.
You know, Ahmed, the sad part is I've even seen dogs drinking this raw sewage water. I mean, I've sewage water, and it's shocking indeed. And all these animals are going to get sick and so forth. And they allow Alam, things are already looking down. But having you on Straight Talk already puts a lot of things into perspective, Ahmed. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go this morning.
Shabbat, I say to the community, and I mentioned this previously as well, we all got one tendency of complaining. Sometimes we know for the fact you can send 10 letters, you can phone the whole day, you can sit on the phone and to get a reference number from the city, you're not going to get it. We have to take the bull by his horn and say, you know what, get in your area 10 people, 10 houses. Let's do something about it. And everybody thinks like how I'm saying to you, like what we did in Musgrave and other areas. You go to Kloof, Slanga, Durban North. We have formed these ratepayers association, and we're doing our work ourselves. And Shafat, it is now paying dividend, because the next thing, we'll do the bigger things as well. So do the smaller things, and then you'll say, you know what, this is the major problem that we are faced with. Let's do something about it. Then you might say, okay, 10 people here, we're having this water issue. Let's all 10 of us get one Jojo tank and we keep it in Mohammed's house or whoever's house where it's accessible. And in his. And then we can even get from the city, we can get the water, and you got to back up in that road there, in your road for the 10 people. So everybody does that. We will be able to solve our problem quickly instead of waiting for the government. You are right, 100%, everybody is right. You know what? Why should we be doing this A, B, C, D, and all when we are paying rates? But the thing is, you are paying rates, but there is no system in place to fix and give service delivery. Then what you want to do?
Ahmed, and always proactive indeed, our very own Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.